Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and you can now visit our online community for job hunters. It's a Brian Lehrer Show Facebook page called Help Wanted. Join us to tell your job hunt stories or to share your tips with others. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we will talk more about that in our next hour. But video calls aren't just for the Jetsons anymore. They're as easy as a free Skype download and a camera hookup. Something that once seemed like a futuristic technology is now accessible to nearly anyone with a computer. But video calls still haven't made their way into most of our daily routines. And some say this is because we're actually really uncomfortable with these face-to-face phone calls. Our next guest is Peter Rojas, co-founder of GDGT.com. And he's here to talk about the intimate experience that video calls create. Hey, Peter, welcome back to WNYC. Oh,
thanks for having me back on.
Now, Skype has reported that about a third of their calls employ video. What's your take on this number?
That's actually, when I saw that number a few weeks ago, it was much higher than I had expected it would be. Because about 12% of all international long-distance calls are made via Skype. And the fact that then a third of those calls are using video is a pretty astounding number when you think about it, especially considering the fact that, like you were saying, most people really haven't started to integrate video calling into their day-to-day lives yet.
Now, of course, most calls are still not via Skype. They're via other telephone methods. So a third of Skype calls, well, maybe it's high, maybe it's low. Joel Stein wrote in Time last month, as far as the full contact listening that Skype requires, I don't think we want that all that often from people who aren't already in our house. So he seems to think that being seen by the person you're talking to makes us feel way too uncomfortable to use video calls on much of a regular basis. You think that's an issue?
Well, I actually look at it from the opposite perspective, which is that video calls let you have kind of an intimacy or a connection with someone that you wouldn't normally have. And that's why I think he's looking at it from the wrong angle, which is he's thinking of it as a voice call with video, whereas I look at it as a kind of a different experience, a totally different thing in its own right. For myself, I don't do video calls every day, but when I do them, it's for things like having my wife's parents, they want to talk to their grandson, and they live in California, and they want to have something that's a lot more intimate and a lot brings them sort of closer to their grandson than they can get over a voice call. And I think that's how people like to use this stuff.
So, listeners, what's your take on video calls? Do you use Skype with the video, or are you camera shy? Do you see video calls becoming a part of our daily routines? Do you want them to, or are they just for rare occasions or people living long distances from their loved ones? Has Skype made a difference for you in how you communicate? Tell us how you use video Skype. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Peter Rojas from GDGT.com. So who are the people who make up that 34% who are using Skype video calls? You have any idea?
Well, I think, like you were saying, it's a lot of people that are trying to chat with their loved ones long distance.
A lot internationally, I would say.
International, exactly. A lot of families that are separated. A lot of people in the military actually using it now. People stationed in Afghanistan, stationed in Iraq, they're using it to be able to talk with their families back here in the States. And I think that it gives you an option to be connected to someone in a way that you weren't able to before. And so whereas Joel Stein looks at it as sort of a negative thing, right? We have to pay attention. It makes us uncomfortable. That's only if you really are going to be talking via video with every single person that calls you, which you would never want to do. In fact, most people are trying to make fewer phone calls than voice calls or video calls than they ever did before.
But not succeeding.
Well, yeah, it depends, yeah.
Lori in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lori.
Hi there.
You're a Skype user?
Yeah, I first started using it when I was, I worked in China for 4 weeks, and so I had gotten it, you know, to keep in touch with my husband while I was there. And then, of course, my boss has stayed there back and forth, but mostly there for the past 2 years. And it's been a way to communicate with him so that he can physically see what, you know, that the office is still intact while he's gone and everything. There are times when it's uncomfortable where you're just doing five things at once. But overall, you know, we use it still. And then when I had my twins the Christmas before, I got web cameras for all of the grandparents around the country in Louisiana, Colorado, Portland, Oregon, and it's a way for them to weekly see the girls grow and what they're doing and how they're growing and everything. So it's nice.
Yeah, I think it's a reflection of how we live our lives now. Right? Our families aren't all in the same town like they were maybe 100 years ago.
Right. And actually, what's really funny is, you know, the girls are 22 months now. And whenever I open the laptop, the first thing they'll say is "Papa, Grandma."
Ah, oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of disturbing in a way, but also nice to know that even at their young age, they still know who those individuals are.
Ask people what's the first thing you associate with computers, and most people will not say "Grandma," but your twins will. Lori, thank you for your
call.
You're
welcome.
And you know, you said most people are trying to make fewer phone calls. I guess that's actually true, right? How many of us, especially in business, try to use chat or email or text to avoid having to make phone call?
Yeah, exactly.
Because of how time-consuming it is, and to some degree how harder a time we have controlling our communication.
Well, and I think text messaging, email, it's a way exactly for us to control the conversation a little bit more and also to give us a little bit of distance from someone. So, you know, when you have to do a lot of calls all day for business, it can be a little uncomfortable that you can't manage the interactions that you're having with someone, and email and text is a way to distance yourself a little bit. But conversely, that's why I think video calls are great, because it lets you do the opposite, right? It lets you actually draw closer to someone. And sometimes we want to have a closer conversation with whether it's a family member or a loved one or whatever.
Jim in the Bronx with a downside of video Skype. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I can see using something like this very occasionally for very close people in your lives, but who wants to sit in front of a computer to make a phone call on a regular basis? That's like going back to the old system of corded telephones where you're sort of like trapped, you know, in front of this machine, and you can't move around and do your chores while you're having a phone conversation, which is what most people do. I would never use it except for
it's
very
true.
Very
it does tie you to a spot.
Well, video calling is something that you can do with mobile phones. It's not really here in the U.S. yet, but it has been available in Europe for a few years now. The biggest issue is really that the mobile networks here just don't have the capacity to handle video.
Mobile phones are going to get this too.
Mm-hmm. I think within about 2 or 3 years, you'll see a lot of, you'll see an iPhone with a camera on the front, which will be used for making video calls.
Jim, thanks for your call. And I guess it's another example of how other countries have led the way in these communications. The U.S. has led the way on some technological things, but cell phones took on a whole different level of importance in parts of Africa, countries where other forms of communication aren't reliable, where you can't really get a good corded phone hookup easily because of economics or whatever. And Europe was so far ahead of us on cell phones. So here's another example where the U.S. is not the leader.
Well, it's not that video calls have really caught on in Europe. Mobile video calls have really caught on in Europe. It's been an issue of it was introduced there first, and there are more phones that have support for it there than we do here. And the carriers, like I said, have been reluctant here because our mobile wireless networks are just not as robust as they are in other countries.
And we've been talking about video Skype, but David in Manhattan uses a different video technology, right, David?
Yes, my girlfriend's upstate, a couple hundred miles away, and we talk over Gmail. I really wanted to keep WNYC true to its non-commercial roots and not let you focus on Skype simply because they did a marketing little research project to get publicity. We don't know what percentage of the Skype international calls use the video. They didn't break it down between international and domestic.
Well, good point. There, talk about Gmail with video chat and other competitors.
Yeah,
for Skype.
So that's actually a good point. There are lots of different services: iChat from Apple, Yahoo, Microsoft's MSN, AOL's AIM, Google's Gtalk. They all offer video support for video chatting. And there are other services out there. One of the ones that I'm finding really interesting right now is called Chat Roulette, which is just in the past few days has really started to catch fire.
Where you connect by video with complete strangers,
yes,
from anywhere in the world, selected randomly.
Yes. So basically what you do is you log in, and it has your webcam, flips it on, and then it connects you randomly with the webcam of somebody else out there on the internet. And what happens is, most of the time, is that you're connected with someone and they hit a button that says it's the roulette button, so to speak, and it skips, goes to the next person. And you can just sit there and skip from person to person to person.
That is so fascinating.
It's
That's
bizarre.
Either exciting or it's scary, depending on who you are, I guess.
It's an amazing way to sort of surf around the web and get a real-time snapshot of all the people that are on.
Have you figured out the percentage chance of getting hooked up with somebody who doesn't speak the same language as you?
You know, I'll be honest. I've used it a couple times, and rarely am I connected with someone for more than a second or two.
Really? Because what happens?
Well, because it's usually a guy on the other end realizes I'm not a girl, and they flip the button immediately.
It's about that. Anoush in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hi, Anoush.
Hi. I have a pretty interesting story about using Skype, and also I use the iChat thing, too, on Mac. I reconnected with an old friend from college, a male friend. We haven't seen each other in 20 years. He's been in Europe. And we basically started talking and got very romantically interested, but it really wasn't until we started doing the Skype thing that I think both of us really felt like, okay, this is really going to happen. This is really going to work. And I would highly recommend to anybody who is going on internet sites and dating that way or getting set up, I would never, ever meet anyone again without being able to do the iChat thing. I think that our romance is, I think we both feel much more certain now. We haven't, after not having seen each other for 20 years, that I think we feel much more secure and
certain. The eye contact and the whole thing conversations, right?
Yeah. I had tremendous anxieties about it before this, and now I think we both feel very good about it.
Yeah, but first you have to see if he cleans up the room.
yeah.
Are you ready for chat roulette, Anoush?
Okay.
Maybe not. Oh, no. The thing we were talking about before. I'm going to leave it there. Anoush, thank you very much. You know, to the caller, David, who said we don't want to be in the position of even inadvertently hyping one commercial product. Mm-hmm. We certainly don't. How does Skype make money? I mean, we think of it as, you know, this free thing, right? It's free. I mean, people are going to cancel their phone service because they could use Skype for free.
Well, so Skype charges for certain services. Say you want voicemail. They charge for that. Say you want to be able to get the ability to call from Skype to a regular phone number, a landline number. They charge for that. Let's say you want to get a regular landline number that people can call you and reach you on Skype. They charge for that. So there are fees that they charge. And they figure that if they have enough people using it, and I think they have something like 520 million registered users, that they can get, even if they just get 1 or 2 or 3 or 5% of those people to pay for additional services, they're going to make a lot of money. And Skype actually does make hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
Really?
Yeah.
So before you go, and that's another fascinating example of like things that Google does, where you can offer something for free and still make a ton of money at it. We have a minute left, and speaking of Google and speaking of commercial hype, there seems to be a push to condense all of our communication. Gmail, Google Video Chat, Google Voice, Wave, and now Google Buzz. So what's your initial reaction to Buzz? And can you picture everybody using that platform as a one-stop location for all communication?
Well, so Google introduced Buzz, which is basically their reaction to Twitter and Facebook, the idea of people doing quick, real-time status updates. It's not an email. It's not a blog post. It's just sort of putting something out there really quickly and connecting it to your network of friends. And I think Google did something smart, which was they integrated it right into Gmail, which is something that tens of millions of people use every day, and then connected you into what was already, for a lot of people, an existing social network, which is the people that they email with and communicate with on a daily basis. I think the challenge is that people like me, we segment those networks into different things. I don't necessarily want my social life connected to my work life. And I like being able to communicate with certain people on Facebook, like my family and close friends, and then other people on Twitter.
So not yet.
Not quite yet.
Peter Rojas, founder of GDGT, Think Gadget Without the Vowels, .com. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's a remix of the Skype ringtone by G.